Welcome to Trinity Life Church Podcast Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy listening.
So yeah, we're kind of towards the back end of a preach series that we're going through called The Viral Church. And the whole premise of this is looking at Acts and looking at the way that the church wasn't an internal thing. The church wasn't supposed to be kept to itself. It was supposed to be a people that go out into our neighborhoods, into our towns, cities, nations, and the world. And we've heard of, obviously, guys this morning, Patrick and Carol, and even chatting with Lawrence this morning, he was saying, well, you know, I might get a job in England, but I really want to go outside. You know, it's kind of, there's that thing in us, you know, we want to be out there for Jesus. We want to be out there for God. And he's given us that mission. And the early church really showed that in Acts. And it's trying to grab hold of that, trying to grab hold of what we're taught in Acts. And kind of move that forward and do that here in Royston. We don't want to live in this building. We want to live out there in the neighborhoods, in our communities. And we want to influence this place for Jesus. And not just this town, but the region and the nation and beyond. And that's what we're called to. That's what every single Christian is called to. Not to be internal, but to be external and looking out. So that's really what we're doing in Acts. We're kind of using it as a platform to kind of talk around this subject of viral church. So I've got a lot of scriptures this morning. None of them are from Acts. But there you go. Because the Bible is full of Jesus. And that is what we want to take out there. So what I have done, I did this last time. So this, a few weeks back, I preached on the infection. So being this virus as an infection. And I said it was kind of a two-part thing. So I'm now, this week, I'm going to speak on contagion. They're very closely linked. If you have a look at the definitions of them. But I'm, for the purpose of these two talks, I'm using infection as, can you catch it and nurture it? So there's an immediacy. Can you capture this this thing that is Jesus, his life? So that's the infection. And then contagious, are you contagious? Can you develop it and can you spread it? Now technically, it's kind of one and the same thing, infection and contagion, okay? But I just wanted to do that to split it up because last time I talked about us having a kind of a bed to be able to sit that infection in, and now I want to talk about contagion and keeping it there and keeping developing it and growing it and getting it out into the world. So what I've done, like last time, I've got a whole load of scriptures that I'm going to go through. There's a load of scriptures, and you really won't have time to flick to them. But what I have done is I've printed them out. So Amadeus, if you could hand those out, probably one per couple. It's not a huge amount. And so you can, if you want to, turn to it, obviously. But equally, all the scriptures are in there in sequential order. I like that. So feel free just to read it off there. They're all in different versions. But I encourage you to go away. There's also some scriptures at the end after each section. You'll see it's kind of divided up into sections. That will become clear later on. And then there's other scriptures after it that if you want to, I'd encourage you to go and study these scriptures. It's amazing. As you can see, I started to do this, and I got so many scriptures. You start to dig into the Bible. You can't help but just be amazed by, you know, what's in the Bible, to be perfectly honest. It's great. So this, I spent probably far too long reading the Bible this week. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know if I am. Okay, there we go. Anyway, it is, I know exactly. So, here we go. So, last time we heard about King Solomon, First Kings. Excuse me. We saw how in the early years of King Solomon, he didn't do everything that God asked of him. He did not pull down all the high places. He didn't get rid of those things that God said, I want you to get rid of all these things. He allowed things to remain. He created a breeding ground for the wrong infection, an environment not for God to flourish, but an environment for the world to flourish. And he was contagious. Unfortunately, in some of his life, he was contagious with the wrong thing. And you have a look at the amount of wives that he had. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing to have a wife, but his wives were all worshipping different idols. And he then worshipped them as well. And he said it's absolutely fine. And lost the kingdom through that. And he was lesser of an impact in those times. Why? Because you can't be infected with what you already have. The world doesn't need what it's already got. Okay? So he didn't get rid of the remnant. And we talked about getting rid of things in our lives, remnant of our old nature, not of the new nature that once we become born again, we have a new nature in Christ. We are a new creation. But there's stuff sometimes that we allow to hang around. And we need to be asking the Holy Spirit, can you just pinpoint those things? What are the things that I need to deal with? And once the Holy Spirit pinpoints those, we need to be dealing with them. We can't just go, well, actually, that one I quite like. Do you mind if I keep that? At which point God will go, well, actually, yes, I do mind it. Get rid of it. So this talk really comes from the assumption that we're kind of dealing with those things, that if God has shown something, we're kind of dealing with the process, the journey of, as it were, removing those from our lives. Sometimes it can be instantaneous. Sometimes it's a process. And this week, so hopefully this week, I want to bring some application on once we're kind of in that place of dealing with stuff, I want to bring some application. How do we remain free from that stuff? Okay? So it's kind of the infection. We're going to get rid of the wrong infection, keep the right infection, and then keep contagious with the right infection. Okay? So let's turn to, if you want to turn to Psalm 1. It is, I believe, on the top of that handout I gave. It's one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I love the way that the Bible sometimes, you know, rarely the Bible says, and sometimes he prospers. The Bible uses this word all quite often. And in all that he does, can you imagine everything that you do prospers? That'd be amazing. But here's a promise. He delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. He's planted by streams of living water, yielding fruit. All he does prospers. Love that scripture. So that's effectively how the Bible wraps up. How do we stay in a place of contagion? How are we fruitful? How is it that everything that we do prospers? Sits in that scripture. What I also thought I'd do, obviously going to the Bible first, but secondly, what better place after the Bible to explain cultivating infection and contagion but the Quality Compliance Systems website? I tell you what, that is a fascinating website. If you're ever struggling to sleep, I would suggest you go to that website, read the about page, and I think you'd probably be asleep. It's great, loved it. Anyway, it's one of the major UK players in health and safety, infection control, risk management, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know a great deal about that from a worldly perspective, so I went there to have a little read. And on this website, they give you some pointers. These are the things that you really need to look at in order to maintain an infectious-free environment. Now, obviously, what they were looking at is keeping out the bad things, because there can be some bacteria that's actually quite good for you. So we want to keep in the good stuff, keep away the bad stuff. Okay, so let's have a look. Is this, yes. Oh, we did that bit. Oh, there's a quote there. There we go. So these are the five things that they said were essential for maintaining infectious-free environment, keeping in what you want, out what you don't. Cleaning schedules. So it kind of makes sense, actually. If you want an infectious-free environment, you need to have regular cleaning schedules. So cleaning the areas you want to keep from harmful infection. Number one. James 4:8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. This scripture speaks quite a lot to me, because when I was in my early 20s and struggling a little bit, shall I say, with my faith, one of my best friends, who actually turned out he became my best man, not a Christian. In fact, he was a out-and-out atheist. He didn't mind us obviously being friends, but he was just an atheist. I shared gospel with him, but that was where he was at. And I remember sitting with him one night, and he turned to me, and he said, "Matt, your life isn't a complete mess." And I was thinking, the cheek of it, because yours doesn't look rosy. But he said, "Matt, your life's a complete mess. You try and live your entire life for God, but you've got half of your life in the world, and it's ripping you apart. And if you don't do something about that, this will kill you." And at that moment in time, I was thinking, the gall of this guy to speak to me like that. I was in a different place back then. And but after that, I went away, and you know, God really, really spoke to me about that. And it's like here, it says, you're divided between God and the world. Your loyalty is divided. Wash your hands, purify your heart, be set apart for God. And it was at that moment, season, shall I say, that I basically said, no, this guy is actually speaking some profound truth. I didn't want to label it. I didn't want to say, you do know that God spoke through a donkey before, so yeah. I thought that would have been a little bit dishonoring. But it really changed my life. I just went, that's, I'm going full on. Now, obviously, you know, there are still issues and things that I deal with, et cetera, et cetera, we all do. But it's just that heart to be undivided, to be totally loyal to God. We need to be coming back to him consistently. We have to deal with sin and issues when God points them out to us. Jesus wasn't sinful. Jesus never sinned. Yet, he still understood the importance of coming back. I mean, he still took time out to pray, took time out to go to solitary places to be with the Father. I mean, if there was ever anyone that you would think didn't need to be with the Father because he was sinless, he didn't need that, it would have been Jesus. Yet, it comes from having such a connection with the Father, such a connection with God. And he knew that. Jesus knew that we have to have those connection times. We have to pray. We have to be connected with the Father. We need those times. Needs to make a habit of setting time aside to be in the diary. If you do not, we try and get our kids to clean their rooms quite often. It doesn't happen that often. I spent half an hour the other day cleaning out their rooms because I love them. We don't have a cleaning schedule. Things don't happen. You need a cleaning schedule to ensure things happen. Else, other things crop up. You end up not doing it. Set aside time in the diary just to be with God. I'm not saying 3-4 hours a day. But is there a time that you can set aside as a scheduled time to be with Jesus? Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. In such a busy society, it does feel like it's getting busier. Information is everywhere. Just this morning, chatting with Mark, someone whose daughter got an implant in their ear. After they were deaf, they couldn't hear, and they got an implant that meant that she could hear. But every now and again, she had to turn it off because she was so unused to sound, to noise, just ambient sound. We get so much in our heads. We need to be still. We need to know that he is God. Come to that place. You've got to come to him. Abide in him. John 15:4-5. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. We have to live in that place. Luke 10:38-42. I love this scripture. It's a real lesson. With Mary and Martha, when Jesus was at their house and Martha was busying herself, doing a whole load of stuff, and she got a little bit annoyed because Mary's just sitting, she's not doing anything, Jesus. You're not going to tell her to do something. And Jesus said, dear Martha, Mary is doing the best thing. Sitting at my feet, listening to me, taking in everything of me when I'm here. And you know, sometimes we can miss it. And we need to sit with Jesus. We need to have a yearning to, you know what? There's so much to do. We need to get that out of our head. Sometimes we can busy ourselves, even in the moment. And Kate and I, we talk very much about being in a moment. We busy ourselves. It's like, oh yeah, I'm with Jesus, but there's got to do this, got to do that, remember to do this, haven't done that, got to do this. Oh, I need to make a note of that. Where's the phone? I'm making a note of that. I'm with you, Jesus. Hold on. There we go. What was that prayer again? I can't remember what it was in the Bible. Anyway, great time, Jesus. Off we go. It's not quite the same time. It's not the same time. We have to spend time, separate ourselves, and just be with Jesus. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much. One of my favorite things to do is to meditate. I'm a bit of a kind of... people might call me a daydreamer, but I just like to be there. I like to think of Jesus. I like to think of Scripture. You know, you just in creation, you can see something and it just inspires me. I get Bible and I dig into it. And it's just one of those things. I just love to just be in my brain. It's sometimes a bit distracting, but I love to be there. You just got to consider thoughts about Jesus. It's not difficult. Just any scripture. We ask our son, there's some scriptures that we say is Jeremiah, isn't it? 11, sorry. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Good plans to prosper you. Give you a future, hope for a future. Meditate on that. It's a great thing to meditate on. And then Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Again, it's not sometimes on your lips, it's always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So that's cleaning schedules. You need to clean regularly. Next, ventilation. Ventilation. Bacteria, viruses, spores, they thrive in warm, humid, smothering conditions. You know when you get into, it's like in the winter, and you get into the, if you ever go to the underground, and you're standing in the train, and it's warm, and then someone next to you goes, and you go, great. And that's marvelous. You can feel the bacteria now floating around. It's like, yeah. Anyway, need ventilation. But spend as little time as possible in unhelpful environments. Caustic relationships. You know, there's environments that you can't breathe. There's no room to breathe. There's no place for this ventilation. We need to be ventilated. We need to allow the presence of God, the freshness of God, to blow in our lives. We need to have this flow of the Spirit just through our lives all the time. You know, ventilating our heart, ventilating our minds, just keeping us fresh in the Spirit. You know, there's quite a lot of reference in the Bible about who we spend time with. A lot of scriptures about relationships that are harmful to us. Amos 3:3. You can see that I did quite a bit of digging. I don't normally end up in Amos. But Amos, can two walk together unless they are agreed? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled, but bad company corrupts good character. Do not be misled. Do not kind of think, you know what? My character is stronger than that. I could win them over. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, we're called into the world. We're called to bring Jesus' light to the world, be salt to the world. We're called to be disruptive to a worldly stronghold. You know, chatting with Rich recently, using this word disruptive, I love that word. Not because it's kind of aggressive and it just makes a mess of stuff. But it's what Jesus does. His kingdom is disrupted in a really good way, breaking down the strongholds that are imprisoning people. We want to come in God's love. Do you know how disruptive love is? It's incredibly disruptive. But we want to be love. We want to be Jesus' love. But we're warned not to love the things of the world. The things that are opposed to God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with the darkness? We need to wash ourselves daily, keeping fresh in the Spirit. Constant renewal. Ephesians 5:26. I love that scripture about being washed in the Word, about a husband speaking the word of life over his wife, washing her in the Word. Why? To bring us holy to God, a holy bride. Speaks of us. We're a bride. We need to be washed in the Word regularly. keep yourselves in the wrong environments, and you'll find that life gets really hard. It'll be kind of like, you know, why is life so difficult? Why am I finding this such, it's like treacle. It's like, why? There's probably a wrong environment, a wrong relationship. There's something in your life that's causing life to be hard. The pitfalls are deep. That term where you kind of digging a hole for yourself. Yeah, that happens. But Jesus came to give us life to the full. Life on earth. Kingdom. It's heaven come to earth. Kingdom. That's what we want to be doing. We want to see God's kingdom come as it is on heaven. So ventilation, we need to keep ventilated. Allow the Spirit to keep us fresh. Number three, maintain maintenance access. This is what the QCS says. Access to units, sealing voids and other areas allowing for essential maintenance work for preventing infection. Legionella lurk in unmaintained systems. That's not a nice thing. Hard to get areas will be a haven for unwanted parasites, viruses, and bacteria. Rich will know, this is Rich New, will know very well that if your boiler flue cannot be seen, you need to stick maintenance hatches all over your house to be able to see the entirety of it from the beginning to the end. Why? Because if there's leaks, you could poison yourself, and that's not good. Maintenance hatches are essential for being to access all areas. We need to let Jesus into every area of our life. Have we, when we became a Christian, whenever, is there an area where we went, no access panel is going there? That's mine. Over there, just stick one there, because I know that that's clean. Over here, though, I'm going to keep that one shut. Are there areas in our lives that we keep close to God? Restricted access. I'll tell you what. I don't need to be a prophet to tell you that if there's access in your life that's restricted to God and there's stuff in there that you know is not of God, it will damage your life. It will damage your life. You see, the reason why is because anything that's opposed of God, sin, leads to death. And we can't be of the illusion that having it hanging around isn't going to lead to death. Miraculously, if there's sin in my life, it only leads to death if it's in someone else's life. Well, actually, no, sin leads to death. And we need to be very careful that we don't have death hanging around our lives. If we're not infected by God, we're infected by something else. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Do our eyes delight in other ways other than God's ways? God, create in me a pure heart. Create in me your heart, God, an unwavering, dedicated, attentive spirit. Psalm 51:10. You know, sometimes I do wonder, I live life wanting to be a light for Christ in the world. But how much stuff do we harbor? Infections and contagious stuff that's not of God that actually rubs off on other people. Never thought of that. That's what contagion's about. Contagious stuff means someone else can catch it. If we're contagious with God, someone else can catch it. If we're contagious with anger, with bitterness, someone else can catch it. For those that know Byron Easterling, really good friend of ours, but also a friend of the church, he shared with me a testimony once where he was in the supermarket. He was standing in line, and there was someone in front of him, and they did their shopping. They went home. Byron then did his shopping, and he went home. And on the way home in the car, he said, I felt dirty. It was really weird. I felt really dirty. I almost felt immoral, like I'd done something wrong. And he was like, well, God, what is this? What have I done? He just couldn't pinpoint it. And, you know, Byron is one of these, such a father. He's got such a father's heart, such a relationship with God. He just got home, got on his knees, and went, God, what is it that I need to deal with? And he said, it's nothing. Except the person in front of you is in an adulterous relationship in the queue. And that spirit tried to contaminate you. And Byron just said, well, I just washed that off in the name of Jesus, and it was gone. But this point was that we wander around in the world, and Satan tries to weave his way in. He tries to get under our skin. He tries to get into your life in whichever nook and cranny he can find, whichever window. Satan comes as a thief. He's trying to find a little window that's open that we've left open, a little doorway that's open. You know, if you knocked on the door and you looked out there and there was a thief, you'd go, oh, please come in. Who does that? No one does that. But if you leave a window open or he finds a little crack, he will try and get himself in. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. We don't want to be fearful because he has no right to be there. He can only come in if he's invited or we leave him the ability to do so. We say, no, please come in through this little crack that I've left open for you. He has no right to be there. He has no authority to be there. And we can stand in the authority and the victory of Christ and say, this is not your place. You have no authority here. So don't be fearful of it. But we do need to be aware and vigilant that he is on the prowl. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't be scared of him. Don't give him more than he deserves, which is nothing. But be vigilant. Maintenance access. Keep those areas open so Christ can come in, God can come in and deal with things. Number four, communication. Effective communication between stakeholders to incorporate specialist design features will support the prevention of the spread of healthcare-associated infections. You can see why I fell asleep reading this one. I found it quite interesting, actually, linking it in. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Keep an unrestricted channel to God. Jesus did nothing on his own accord. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He prayed continually. He was in continual connection with the Father all the time. Matthew 26:41, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This is when Jesus was asking his disciples to pray with him. Or just, can you just keep watch and pray with me whilst I go over here and pray? And what did they do? They fell asleep. Please keep watch and pray, Jesus would say, so that you will not fall into temptation. We need to maintain an open priority channel with God. This isn't, you know, I'm not saying that there can be nothing in our lives, like, you know, the career that we've got, a sport that we like to do, a hobby that we've got. It's not about, oh, we can't do any of those things, but it's a priority that everything that we do, we focus on God in it. So with your career, do it to the glory of God. In this sport, do it to the glory of God, whatever it might be. Put another way, whoever we spend the most time talking to, whatever thoughts we spend most time running through our heads, whatever we mostly view, read, or watch, that's what will be infecting us and affecting our actions. Don't try and say, well, you know, it's okay, I'm strong. I can do that. I can be strong enough, it'll be fine. Don't be deceived. We need to keep that priority of Jesus, that channel of God in our lives. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that's communication. Keep in that constant communication with the Father. Number five, architecture. The building's interior layout has a huge impact on the prevention of cross-contamination and the ease with which a high standard of cleanliness can be achieved. Firstly, if you don't build your foundation on God, you're looking to fail. I'll put it that way. What will come of a temple not built on solid foundations? 1 Chronicles 28:10 is one of our scriptures. We've been called to build a sanctuary for God, for his presence. Be strong and do it. Haggai 1:7-8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. So God wants a temple within which he can take pleasure and be honored. But what I find fascinating of this scripture, it says before, he said, go get your timber, go build a temple for me that I can take pleasure in it and I can be honored in it. But what does it say? Give careful thought to your ways. This isn't just go and build me a temple. You know, all the design stuff. Go and build it, as I said. And I'll take pleasure in it. And I'll be honored in it. Great. Give careful thought to your ways. Why would he say that? Well, I just think that if we are not carefully thinking, if we are not carefully positioning ourselves in Scripture, in God's ways, I think our building will look slightly odd. Half your building or the temple will be of God. Half your building would be of the other things that you are carefully considering, that your thoughts are based on. What are your thoughts based on? Are they based on Scripture? Are they based on God's Word? Or are they based on other things? I believe that that may have some defining aspect in the temple that you build. But equally, what you place in your temple, how you lay it out, dictates the ease with which you can be without infection. Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Feed it rubbish, spew out rubbish. I think it's quite, maths. I wasn't too bad at maths, but I think this is quite an easy equation. You put in rubbish, you'll spew out rubbish. You put in good, you'll spew out good. You know what I'm trying to say. If you place in your mind a library of unhealthy thoughts, that's going to be part of your actions. If your walls have a whole load of distasteful posters or pictures or images on it, immoral images, that will be infecting every single time you walk down the corridor. There they are. If your corridors are filled with bitterness, your life will be twisted up and unrecognizable. If you stick in and live with rubbish, our lives are going to reflect that. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. If you allow into your heart other things, as Solomon did, he did not pull down the worshipping places, the places of people's hearts. He didn't pull them down from the high places. He allowed people to worship other gods. He also joined in, and what happened? His heart got pulled away. Kingdom went somewhere else. Above all else, guard your heart. Place barriers up. Place godly obstacles up. Now, I know we want to be free-flowing. Absolutely. But we want to stop the unhealthy things coming in. We want to put up those obstacles, the God obstacles. What would those be? Those would be things like accountability. Those would be things like discipleship. Those would be things like keep in fellowship. Testify of what God has done. It's one of the things in the Bible that God teaches us. Testify. Remember the things of old. Remember the things. Tell your children. Keep talking about it. Testimony. Testify. Do you know why? One of the things is we've got to keep remembering. We've got to know what God has done. And one of the things that is in the word testimony, one of the definitions means God, do it again. God healed. God prospered. God blessed. God delivered. God saved. God, do it again. It's really important that we remember. We were told, Deuteronomy 4:9, take care. Keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children, and your children's children, and children's children, and children's children. Keep talking about it. It's really important. Why do we come together on a Sunday? We come together to worship and praise God, to give him all the glory that he's deserved of. But it's coming together to be in fellowship, to be accountable to one another. It's coming together also to testify, to hear the testimony, to say, God, do it again. Those things, God, do it again. Psalm 150, 1 to 2. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We want to be contagious. We need to give ourselves the best opportunity to be contagious of the things of God. We've got to give ourselves the best opportunity. Want to catch hold of God? We want to be infected. But I also want to develop a life. I don't want to just catch the infection. I want to develop a life that is going to spread the infection. That's what I want. I want to be spreading Jesus everywhere. Yeah? This is going to show my age a little bit because this is one of the movies that I grew up on. And it's always weird when you have to actually say the original because they've pulled out another one. Who's seen the original Ghostbusters? Yeah, the best. If you haven't, you're about to see some of it, hopefully. Let's see what happens with this. It's volume up.
Come in, Ray.
Hickman! I saw it!
It's right here, Ray. It's looking at me.
He's an ugly little spud, isn't he?
I think he can hear you, Ray.
Don't move. It won't hurt you.
Slimed me.
That's great! Actual physical contact! Can you move?
Ray, come in, please.
I feel so funky.
Spengler, I'm with Venkman. Oh. You got slime!
That's great, Ray. Save some for me. Get down here right away. I just went into a ballroom.
Okay, we'll be right there.
Says Bill Murray. Venkman gets slimed. It's one of the most famous scenes in the movie. And he's covered in this slime, contaminated, probably infected with any numerous thing that you might get from some weird green slimy thing, and become contagious. You see, the sign. Now, this you'll see how my mind works here. This scene reminded me of the parable of the prodigal son. I there were a few faces that went, "What? How? In what way?" Okay, so imagine this: prodigal son. I don't know how far away he was, but he was far away. But the father saw him. And what did the father do? As a prodigal, you know, he's coming home and he's thinking, oh my word, what's going to happen? The father saw him and he ran at him. And he didn't stop. And when he got to him, he smothered him. And if you actually read into the scripture, he smothered him to the point at which he flattened him on the floor and just kissed him all over as a father would with a long lost son. Yeah? And so it's just this image of the father running at the prodigal son with nothing other than love and just bang, smothers him, wraps his arms around him, smothered in love, smothered in his presence. Okay? It's a little bit separated from that scene, but you can kind of see a little bit. But Venkman, Bill Murray, lying on the floor, smothered in this slime. Prodigal son lying on the floor, smothered in father's love, smothered in his father's presence. Amazing, amazing scene. That is transformational. And it was transformational for him. Prodigal son, welcome back in. I want to be enveloped in God's presence. I want to be smothered by his presence. So just as a reminder, to create the environment needed to develop and spread this smothering presence of God, the Father's love. Cleaning schedules, discipline, come to him, abide in him. Ventilation, healthy relationships, allow the Spirit to flow in our lives. Maintenance access, be open to God, be aware and be vigilant. Communication, pray continually. We want to see what the Father's doing. And we want to be out there. And we want to be moved by the things of God and acting on the things of God. Architecture, foundations, make sure your foundations are solid in the Word. Line the corridors with the things that you want to replicate. Set yourselves up to succeed. We want to be enveloped in his presence. Who wants to be enveloped in his presence? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your love, your unconditional love. Lord, we thank you that you have set us up to succeed. No one here is set up to fail. Lord, you set us up to succeed. You are with us. You are for us. You are our strength in our times of weakness. And Lord, as we come, as we put aside ourselves, as we put aside ourselves as our own God, and we proclaim you as our Lord and our Savior and our God, as we come to you, open ourselves up, Lord, you are there for us. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, if there is anything that anyone is struggling with, Holy Spirit, that you would just breathe on that. Father, you'd just come and you would just envelope us in your love, in your presence. And Lord, that we would, just because of the love you have for us, that we would take those things and we would say, no more. Just put that aside. I don't want to go near that again, Lord. I want to be wholehearted for you. In Jesus' name, amen.